You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Well, the life of June Carter Cash is finally celebrated in this first ever biography, written by John Carter Cash. Anchored in Love, an intimate portrait of June Carter Cash. This intimate story reveals details about her marriage to Johnny Cash, relationships with her children, and her own personal struggles. You know, it's an inside personal look at the accomplished life of June Carter Cash, as seen, of course, through the eyes of her only child with Johnny Cash, John Carter Cash, who joins us right now, who's down in New York, I think. Is that where you're at, John?
Yes, I am. I'm here in the city here this week.
In the big smoke.
Yes, sir. It is. It's mighty smoky, one way or another.
Yeah, exactly.
It's mostly oozing out of the subway.
Oh, man. You know, when you were doing the research for this book, did you discover anything that you kind of wish you never knew? Because when you dive into this stuff, you never know what's going to come up.
Well, yeah, I mean, the best stories I heard are the most startling ones I later found out weren't true, so I had to leave those out.
So people just spinning you a bit of a yarn.
Yeah, no, I don't know. And I don't think it was a yarn. I think you hear so-and-so said so-and-so, and you know what I heard that happened was this and that, and then I talked to somebody who was really there, then it wasn't that way.
But in the meantime, before you got the truth, you had a bit of a heart attack.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I think that the book's two-thirds probably, you know, after I'm born, the period before I'm born, I did get a good view of my mother through my sister's eyes, through Carlene's eyes, you know, in the 1960s, but I can't think of anything that was really like, oh, I wish I hadn't found that out. I think it was, you know, probably the most profound stuff, you know, was actually going back through my life with her and, you know, sort of reawakenings and whatnot.
Well, I can imagine the cathartic aspect of all this. I mean, was this like advice from a shrink saying you need to do this or what?
No, I don't. You know, I think that, I was slow to respond, you know, yes, when I was asked to do it, because a publishing company actually approached me to do it. Thomas Nelson Publishers had done a book on my father's life. They'd hired a writer to go in and study his life and to write a biography based mostly around the spiritual aspects of his life.
Right.
And I'd done some work with them in the editing, and they asked me if I would write a foreword for a biography for my mother, and if the estate would be interested in doing one. And I went ahead and I wrote a foreword, just sort of out of inspiration. And then after they read my foreword, they asked me if I'd write the whole book.
Wow, which is that's a serious foreword.
Yeah, which is the foreword that's in the book now.
Right.
And you know, I didn't know it. It took me a couple of weeks to really make up my mind that I would do it, because I knew it would be painful. But like you said, I knew it would be cathartic, and I wanted to also represent, you know, a good picture of who my mother was to her, you know, living grandchildren and then ancestors to come.
John, would there be some stuff that you only could really write about after their passing, just out of pure respect?
Well, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I mean, I think there's a certain clarity of a life fully lived that is viewable only from the outside at the end of a life. And I don't know. I think that they would be fine with me writing this book. I believe that it's my parents' way to want to help people. And the full picture of their life when, you know, when written down by someone who loved them, is that it's a loving account, and I truly believe that that's what it is. You know, but I mean, I don't mince words. It's pretty honest.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, and I do so because basically that's the way they taught me. You know, that's what they taught me to do, and how they expressed that I should be. You know, be honest, and if I was gonna, that was what was the hard thing about writing it, because I knew if I was gonna write it, that I had to be honest, and that I had to tell things that probably hadn't been told before, and that I had to go into certain aspects of my mother's life that made her up. You know, the dealings with my father's addictions later in life. And then her elements of, because she developed addictions later in life also.
Well, your mom, June Carter, of course, died May 15th, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
She was 73 years old, complications from heart surgery.
Yep.
And your dad, Johnny Cash, died less than 4 months later on September 12th, 2003, at the age of 71. And in a strange sort of way, John, probably from heart complications.
Oh, yeah, from complications of broken heart.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, his body gave up. It really did. I mean, he had diabetes, and, you know, he stopped being able to digest his foods, and that physically his body shut down. But yeah, he was definitely heartbroken. But, you know, he never stopped working. He never stopped going at it, you know. He never stopped making music. You know, he lost his eyesight, and he really... You know, he couldn't read anymore, which was his favorite thing to do forever. And what he had left was his music, and that was his love and his therapy, and you know, his way of expressing himself. He kept making music. I mean, you know, the week before he died, or 2 weeks, I can't remember exactly, but it was the MTV Music Awards, and Hurt was up for a Video of the Year, and by God, he was going.
Really?
Yeah. And so
that's classic. That's classic Cash, right?
Yeah,
there.
Oh yeah. His spirit, you know, really didn't give up. I think his body did.
Hmm. Well, many have said now that Ruth Graham has passed, that it won't be long until Billy Graham passes as well.
Well,
just because of that same love affair.
Oh, that they were one, you know. And I'm sure Billy is heartbroken. I haven't talked to him yet, but he was, you know, a good friend of my parents for years and years. I plan on going to see him here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Now that's what people need. They're heartbroken like that. They need love. They need people to come and care about them.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, the memorial service is currently underway, and then I guess they're having a private service tomorrow. So, John, where were you when your parents died?
Oh, I was with them.
Both times?
Uh huh. Yeah.
That's quite an honor, would you not say? That's quite a blessing in some ways.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I wouldn't have had it any other way. It's best to be with them. Of course, my mother, when she passed away, she was, I mean, you know, her heart stopped, and then she was actually flatlined for 20 minutes, and then they brought her body back. But, I mean, she wasn't never there again. And I wasn't there when her heart stopped that first time, of course. That was in the middle of the night after she'd had a surgery.
Right.
But then I was with my dad when he passed away. But yeah, it is a blessing. I wouldn't have had it any other way.
John, how would you sort of describe their spiritual lives?
Well, I mean, they were, to me, true Christian in the form of the word, in that they aspired to be more like Christ, but they understood that they had shortcomings. And they knew that there was no way they could ever add up, you know. But I believe they're the kind of Christians that Jesus would have wanted to hang out with. They were loving, considerate, caring people. They needed lots of help. They needed lots of support. But they were forever forgiving, and they really did remove the sin that was committed against them as far as east to west. I mean, they were loving and forgiving and caring people. And gentle-minded, never raising their voices, you know, when they were sober-minded, and then even when they were, when my dad would be, you know, messed up, he never raised a fist. I definitely heard their arguments plenty when I was a kid, but I never saw him violent. They were gentle, they were caring people, they were loving, and then they also spread the word, and as far as in their professional world even, you know, they my dad would sing "A Shot of Man in Reno" just to watch him die on the show, and then at the end of the night, he'd sing "Peace in the Valley," or some, rousing gospel.
Gospel, number, yeah.
That was what he really believed in, and I remember him saying that, he went to Billy Graham and told Billy that, how should I feel about this, Billy? I mean, I'm a Christian. I profess being a Christian, but I tell people. But every night, I'm singing "I Shot a Man in Reno" just to watch them die. And every once in a while, singing the real curse word in "Boy Named Sue." The one that was bleeped out of the recorded version. And Billy said, "Do not stop what you're doing." He said, "Do not stop singing those songs." He said, "Because that gets them in." He said, "That gets people in. That brings them to you," he said. "And once you get them in there, then give them the message." And so that's sort of the way my dad lived.
That's tremendous to hear. It really is encouraging because as an outsider, I remember apologizing to Kathy Lee Gifford the first time I spoke with her, saying, "Look, I'm sorry for judging whether you were, your spiritual life or your walk with Christ was authentic, simply from the outside as someone who looked into the television screen." Or what I saw of you in Hollywood or commercials or this, that, and the other thing. I'm so sorry for judging you like that.
And the world does that always. As if they could, Well, we do that, I believe, try to relate whether a person has personal salvation or not.
Yeah.
Based on the outward view of something that we see on television or that we hear, read in a newspaper, and that it's just far deeper than that. I don't know Paris Hilton, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All I know is what the TVs say. Maybe she has found salvation. And, it's not for me to say.
Yeah. No, I think you're spot on with that one.
Yeah.
Folks, we are on the phone with John Carter Cash. John, I got to ask you this. What is it about your dad's music video of the Nine Inch Nails cover of Hurt that I just seem to resonate so dang much with? I mean, the message I get out of it seems to pretty much describe almost to a T my pathetic attempt at following Christ.
Yeah, that video is very strong. I remember when I first saw it, which I was, a part of the process of the original recording in the studio.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I sang the scratch vocal, but when he did the video, we all the family sat around and watched it, and we were uncertain as to how we felt about it because it was exposing but the truth of the matter is that in some elements there were dramatizations. The House of Cash was basically a storage building, and they showed it shut down
right,
as if it was sad, and at the end of his life, I think he chose to shut it down because it was sort of a burden for him as a museum, it was spot on. It really was, in some elements of his life, it really was. He had a way in that video of drawing the viewer in. My dad did, and telling his story through the words of this song and the images. Of course, were related by the director, but still. And showing his weaknesses and his frailties and the fears and not losing his dignity. And I believe a lot of people relate to that. And it's amazing that you could take a song like that about what was written about heroin addiction originally and turn it around to work for him in his life, and to show a picture of where he had been and where he was and where he was headed.
Yeah.
In life, so honestly and truthfully, and still do it as a Christian.
Well, it was brilliant. It really was. I think it's the best music video I've ever seen.
Cool.
I really do. Yeah.
Now,
your mom was a musician, comedian, author, second generation member of the Seminole Carter family, country music family, and actress. She even took acting classes with Robert Duvall and James Dean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not James Dean, but Robert Duvall, yes. The James Dean is a myth.
That's just a myth?
That's a myth.
I'm just going to scratch that out of the notes here.
Yeah,
there we go.
I think she might have propagated that a little herself.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But, Mom had that line in one song that she wrote that I'm never going to see James Dean again.
Yeah.
And I said, "Mom, did you know James Dean?" And she said, Well, no, honey, but it doesn't hurt. I never let the truth stand in the way of
a good story.
Story,
yeah. I know. Don't wreck a good story with fact, you know?
Yeah, no. She was a character, man. But she did go to school with Robert Duvall back in the 1950s and in New York City. And she was studying acting there for a while, you know.
Well, of course, years later, she played Robert Duvall's mother in The Apostle.
Yeah, in The Apostle.
Another wild, wild movie. I think that should be a prerequisite for any Bible college student.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's an intense and you know, beautiful film.
Yeah.
It really is. It's unique.
Now I know why it was Robert Duvall who wrote the foreword in this great book. Yeah.
Yeah, of Anchored in Love. Yeah, yeah, he's just a dear friend and a loving man. Very, very tender and
very, very private about his faith, though. I invited him on the show a little while ago, and his people said, "Yeah, he's just, you know, he wants to keep that a little close to his chest."
Yeah, yeah, you know, he does. He speaks about it with his friends, you know, quite a bit. But I don't know about publicly.
No.
But yeah, he's a good man. He really is a dear friend of my parents.
What's the connection between your mom and Elvis Presley?
Well, they were contemporaries, you know, back in the 50s. Mom went on the road with Elvis, opening shows for him. She was managed for a period of time by Colonel Tom Parker.
Mm.
So they were contemporaries and they were friends. And, you know, I talk about it a bit in the movie I don't know if they had some sort of relationship. She was sort of on a rebound there from her marriage with Carl Smith at the time that she was working with him, and you know, I heard all kinds of stories, and she did get a twinkle in her eye sometimes when she'd mention Elvis, but of course she was far into, you know, being Mrs. Johnny Cash by the time she ever talked about him. And but going back through her stuff after she passed away, we found quite a few Elvis pictures and photos signed and stuff. So
no love notes or nothing.
No love notes.
Oh man,
no.
That would have been a scoop there.
That you know, that's like that. We were talking at the top of the interview about the stories that seemed like they were. They were too good to be true.
Yeah,
I found
out
weren't. There, I heard a few about Elvis. I was like, man, let me put this in there. Wow. And then I was like, wait. And then, you know, I find out it's not true.
Oh, man. Now, speaking of kind of wild connections, what's the connection between Jerry Garcia, the Grateful Dead, and your grandma?
Well, just Jerry made a comment one time in an interview that there was something of Elvis Presley. I mean, Elvis Presley. There was something of Maybelle Carter in everything he played.
Really?
Yeah. And you can hear it. You can hear it. Maybelle's playing was as simple as, you know, the melody is played on the low strings and the rhythm is continued on the high strings with one instrument. Hmm. And she was the first one that did that. She developed that style. And it's all over popular music. You know, it was, you know, Chet Atkins just basically did the same thing, but he sort of flipped the strings, you know, as what the melody would play, the high strings more often, but sometimes the low strings would. But he was working with Maybelle. She was, you know, his partner on the road. They played guitar together for years.
Hmm.
And so, I mean, you know, Maybelle's influence was just so broad and widespread.
Hmm.
Even Keith Richards made a comment about her great influence on his playing one time.
Wow.
You know, so all these, you know, these folks learn from Maybelle, and then everybody else listens to them and learns from them. So,
yeah.
I mean, Maybelle was a direct influence.
Problem is, Keith Richards looks like he's the same age as your grandma.
Yeah. Wait a second. My grandmother never looked that old.
Oh, man. From backstage at the Grand Ole Opry, 1950s, to finally getting married in 68,
mm-hmm.
How would you describe those 18 years of, what do you call it, courting? Between your mom and dad?
Yeah, well, I mean, they met briefly in the 50s, and then she started on the road with him in 1961, and I think it was, you know, it was business and professional for a good while, but he was not happy at home, and I mean, you'd have to know my mother. She was so dedicated and forthright, and would not let her eyes stray, you know, and so I think for the period of time that she was married in the early 60s, you know, to Rip Nicks, I don't think there was much going on with her and dad.
Right, right.
I think that my father might have had it, you know, he would have wanted more, I'd say, back then. But,
sure.
But you know, I mean, I really am not sure. I'm sure that at some point they both gave in to their love for each other in the 1960s.
Would you say that your mom saved your dad's life? Is that a fair comment?
I'd say that he was headed for a bottom no matter what, and that... that was the nature of the addiction that he was in. He was on the way down, and when he got back down, he was either going to keep digging into the ground or he was going to get back up. And I think my mother was there to support him when he got back up. My dad, I think he found his initial, he made his initial decision, hey, I got to get off these drugs, as a solitary thing. I think he was, you know, he was empty and alone. And realized he'd pushed away the ones that he'd loved for so long, and you know, I believe that a lot of, you know, that he saw my mother there, and he knew that she would be there for him if he was straight, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, I believe she had a lot to do with it, but it was a solitary thing.
Yeah, well, because people tend to see your mom as the angel that saved Johnny Cash's life. I mean, she is indeed as close to an angelic person as many people have come across. I mean, it's not too often that you find a Grammy Award winner leading a performance of Happy Birthday for a cashier at a local hardware store.
Yeah. I know, she was a great character, man, you know, and but so many people, though, that have seen Walk the Line and consider it to be sort of the happily ever after that, you know, and it just really wasn't true. I mean,
but your mom struggled with her own demons as well, right?
Yeah, later in life she did. She, because of her physical pains and whatnot, she did become addicted herself, you know. And then, of course, my dad in the 1980s, you know, his addiction came back full force. It was maybe even worse. It was just a different drug, you know, and it nearly killed him and nearly killed their relationship back then.
What were the drugs?
Just painkillers.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, with your mom and dad, as well as, I understand, some siblings, all having struggled with the addictive personality.
And myself.
And yourself. But that's where I was going. I mean, how did the addiction thing bypass you? And you're saying it didn't.
Oh, no, it didn't bypass me at all. No, it didn't bypass me at all.
Right.
No, I struggled for years and years, and about for almost 5 years now, my life has been consistently different.
Wow. Why?
Because something in my spirit had finally gotten to a point where I'd had enough. I couldn't, you know, I can't say what it is that makes a person change, because lots of people will dig themselves right into the ground, or I should have been dead over and over again, as should have my father and whatnot. But somehow or another, we stay. And I don't know. I think addiction is probably a lot more prevalent than people know or
realize.
Oh, heck
yeah. I
mean, it really is. And wherever there's sadness and drug use, I believe that that's what it is. But, you know, I mean, my life was up and down. It was mostly alcohol.
Yeah.
It really was. It was the driving painful force in my life.
John, are you more like your mom, June Carter, or more like your dad, Johnny Cash?
Oh, I'm a little mixture of both. Sometimes I'll say something to my kids, and I'll turn around and think, my goodness, that was my mom. You know? Oh, look at the poor little thing. Give it something to eat. You know, anytime I'm trying to push food in one of them's mouth, I go, wait a second, this is my mother.
Isn't that freaky?
I'll hear it come out of my mouth, and I'll go, oh, that sounded just like my mom. You know, and I don't mean to do it, but I don't know. I'm a lot like my dad. I really am in a lot of ways. You know, I'm stubborn. I'm playful. I like to laugh. I'm silly. You know, and that was my dad and my mom. But I don't know. I'm a little bit of both of them.
I was going to say, this is where I should get your wife on the phone and get the real truth, you know.
Yeah, she'll tell you.
Yeah. Now, executive producer Walk the Line, how much creative or factual input did you have in that?
Mostly in the script.
Okay.
You know, mostly in working in the script before it was ever, before it ever went, you know, into production.
Man, did it take off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that was a good, good, solid flick, let me tell you.
Yeah, really good run. Yeah, it definitely did. And, you know, great performances.
Yeah.
You know, real blessings the performances were. And so it was, you know, it was a lot of fun to work in the process. I don't have a desire to do a movie again. It's a different world for me. I produce records, and that's what I love the most.
Yeah. Well, as the producer of the accompanying tribute CD named...
Right, Anchored in Love.
Yeah, named the same as the biography, Anchored in Love. Are you allowed to profess a favorite song from that CD, or are you going to get yourself in trouble if you lean one way?
Oh gosh, it was wonderful to work with Loretta Lynn. I have to say that for one thing, she sang Wildwood Flower on the CD, and she and my mother were just cut from the same mold. Really, they're so much alike, even though it's so unique, of course. But they really are. My mother was so much like Loretta is, but it was great to work with her. It was like being back in the studio with my mom. You know, unforgettable to work with Ralph Stanley at the Carter Family Home in southwestern Virginia, and then working with Elvis Costello was unforgettable too. Just he was so eager to offer input and suggestions, on the tracking. He was just great to work with.
Well, folks, you need to pick up the CD as well as the book Anchored in Love, June Carter Cash, a tribute to June Carter Cash. Listen to these names on the CD: Sheryl Crow and Willie Nelson do "If I Were a Carpenter." That's wild.
Oh, yeah.
Now, and Patti Loveless and Kris Kristofferson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, my goodness.
yeah, it's really a neat track. Of course, that track, that song that they sang.
Far Side Banks of Jordan. Yeah.
It meant so much to my parents, and it was their statement of their everlasting, undying love.
Yeah. Well, when we go out from this interview here, we're gonna lay out "Keep on a Sunny Side of Life." Of course, Brad Paisley pulling that one out of his hat. I went to his concert a little while ago, pretty much because I was drugged there. I'm not a huge country music fan, but I was thoroughly impressed with the fact that he can play the guitar. First of all,
no, he's amazing. He's a great musician.
And you have done a tremendous job as producer. Again, when you were 3 years old, you went out on stage and took a bow after your dad did "A Boy Named Sue." That was pretty much your first step into the spotlight, right?
Yes, it was. It sure was.
Well, as a third-generation Carter in the music industry, all that talent up on stage, you ended up being more known for your behind-the-scenes production in the studio than for your guitar playing with your dad or your band at Willie Nelson's Farm Aid.
Oh, yeah. That's where I'm most comfortable.
Behind the scenes.
It's behind the scenes. Yeah.
You know, you're a Grammy Award-winning producer, a job where you spend countless hours making someone else look good. You've written a book about your mom. You're being interviewed today about your mom's life. You're always being asked about your mom and, of course, your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be unfair to say that, John, that you've lived your entire life in the shadow of others?
Well, I'm comfortable where I am and doing what I do. And I do what I do because I love it. If I didn't love where I was, I'd do something different. I have a great piece in the studio, it's definitely my studio and it's the place I work. I'm the manager, so it's comfortable. It really is, and I love what I do, and I sort of set my own pace in life, so I'm glad to be where I am.
I think this is just me personally, but I think you need just a little bit more time in the spotlight, and so this is what I'm going to do for my listeners here. All right, John Carter Cash.
He
had gotten a gentle wife. Hey, Willie Walkie, hey, John Dudley, like Rushdie, no, no, no.
Man, you're speaking in tongues back then.
She would not cook and she would not spin. Ickety-nockety, no, no, no. In spite of her gentle kin. Hey, Willie Walkie, hey, John Dudley, like Rushdie, no, no, no.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I should get out there and do it.
What do you reckon? On the road with that one? On the road, baby.
Yeah, I know. I should. I should get out on the road with that one. Boy, you got to search it, didn't you?
Praise God for YouTube, eh?
Yeah, praise God for YouTube. Yeah, that's unforgettable. That's on some old... I was probably 11.
11 years old, sitting in a little fishing boat with your dad playing guitar. He doesn't say a lick. He doesn't say a thing. He just looks at you and grins.
Looks at me and grins. Tries to keep
on time with you.
Scottish folk ballad.
The Wee Cooper of Fife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can see that on YouTube. That's one of the few John Carter Cash performances to be found.
Buddy, that was something else, man.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Well, your family just recently, again, suffered a bit of a loss when the house where your mom and dad lived for so many years burned down.
Yeah, the house burned down. That was heartbreaking. It really was.
That's brutal.
It did. It sort of hit like a death. It really did. Unexpected, just totally unexpected. And because it was nearly redone. Barry Gibb had bought it and was fixing it up.
Bear Gibb from the Bee Gees. Now, did he contact you, talk to you about this? Or I mean, how did you find out about the fire?
Yeah, I talked to him the day after it happened.
Okay.
But Marty Stewart actually called me as he pulled up to the house. He'd been watching the house burn down. Oh. And, it hit like a death. It didn't last like a death because, you know, death will stay with you. But in a couple of days, I'd sort of accepted it. But, yeah, it's sad. I went with Christofferson and his wife Lisa and my sister Roseanne and her daughter the next week after it burned down and walked around. I think Chris probably put it best. He said it's like an exclamation point at the end of a sentence, like, you know, like the end of an era.
Oh, dead set. Yeah. Well, you know, John, the house I grew up in was torn down, and I no longer have this place that I can go back to stoke my memories. What memory triggers do you still have for your dad?
You know, I think the songs and the stuff and images, the Johnny Cash images and whatnot, it's not really a trigger anymore for sadness or loss, because I sort of have a separation, you know. I think tomorrow on Father's Day, that I'll be sad, that it will be, and I'll miss him. I think at special times like that, I'm reading something right now that he wrote, like in the early 1980s, and I think that'll probably, you know, the more I read it, the closer I feel to him, and I'll get sad over that. But I miss my parents every day as my mother and father, but I still see Johnny and June Cash every day of my life, and there's no way around it. So I don't mourn over that anymore.
What about memory triggers for your mom? I mean, what about when you see some lady in a June blue colored dress?
Mm-hmm. A June blue dress?
Yeah.
Or I go into Barney's here in New York City and go have a slice of pumpkin cheesecake. My mother's always around in so many ways. You know, I hear her in my own voice every day. I see her brightness and beauty in my little girl, Anna Maybelle, as she's jumping through the house. You know, so. Mm. So I think her spirit's still alive.
Well, folks, let me just boldly promote this CD book project, Anchored in Love, a tribute to June Carter, available at any of the quality bookstores. And, of course, you can go to the websites here, johncartercash.com, johncartercash.com, or anchoredinlove.com is another place to go for this stuff. Hey, John, listen. Have a great Father's Day tomorrow. You've got, is it Anna, Jack, and Joseph? Are those right?
That's right. Yep, that's right. That's the three.
All right. Well, have a good day tomorrow.
Thank you. I'm very grateful, and it really was wonderful talking to you.
You too, mate.
All right.
I hope we speak again.
All right.
Take care. Bye, John.
Bye.
John Carter Cash. Here's one of those songs you will never forget, sung by Brad Paisley, quite a good guitar player as well. Keep on the sunny side of life.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we keep on the sunny side of life. There's a dark and a troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. And though we meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may view. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all the way, if we keep on the sunny side of life.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.